almost every time anyone who speaks or preaches especially has a goal in mind. You want to teach certain things, and tonight the basic lesson is so common. We hear about it often, maybe not enough, however. It's about what we call the Great Commission. And I want us to think about that tonight, and I want us to think about these words that are on the screen that come from this great passage. We have people in this room that have been many places to teach the Word, specifically for the purpose of preaching the Word. There are people in this room that have never been out of America, will never go out of America, and sometimes those people feel like they just need to be a little bit better. And if they could go maybe just across the line into Canada, they would be a little better, because it's out of the nation and out of the country. And as we take a look at this passage, it gives us responsibility, unbelievable responsibility, to do the work of the Lord. But it's a matter of wherever we go, when we go. It's not just a matter of deciding to go to New Zealand because we have people working there. There was an older gentleman out at Estes that used to say to me, every time I would get ready to go to Panama or Haiti, those were the two places that I went the most while I was at Estes, he would say, there's a lot of work to be done here. Why don't you just stay here? Why do you want to spend all that money and go all that distance when you could go across the street and preach and teach? That's true. There are people across the street that need to be preached to, talked to. But when you go somewhere in many places, even here in America, we support a very fine family in Montana. There might be more Christians in Chester County than there are in the state of Montana. In fact, I believe that might be the case. Would you think that they might need a little help every now and then in spreading the message of God? I don't know how many Christians we have in China, but I would say there's help needed in China with the billions of people that are represented there. I don't know how many Christians we have in India, but there's lots of help needed. There's some people in this room that would never go to China or India or Haiti or Panama or Canada. But you still have a responsibility. This passage means as much to every person in this room today as it did to those people that Jesus was talking to in the first century. When we start thinking about this Great Commission, let's think about these words. First of all, think about this passage. Go, therefore, make disciples. The King James Version is probably the most popular translation in the world of this passage, and it says, go, therefore, and teach all nations. But make disciples is what we are doing with our teaching, making disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, always, even to the end of the age. Wouldn't it be neat to absolutely know the Lord is with you? One time a few years ago, our friend and brother C.W. Bradley, that preached in Memphis for many years, taught at Freed Hardeman a couple of years, he was talking to Billy and me, and he said, you guys are so blessed. We thought that, but he said, you are so blessed. And he said, one of the main reasons you're blessed is when you go places, you have somebody to go with. When you go talk to someone about problems in their lives, You don't have to bear that burden alone. Each of you hears it. You can talk about it. You can think about it. And we've had that privilege for about 30 years now together. That's a great blessing, having someone to go with you. That's what we're looking at when we choose to do what this passage says. But I want you to think about go. In our English language, this looks like an imperative sentence. An imperative sentence is what kind of sentence, young folks? It's a command. They know what a command is. Mom and Dad have a few imperative sentences along the way in their relationship with you, don't you? Jan has a few imperative sentences for me in our relationship along the way. When we begin thinking, this looks like a statement that says, you go. The subject is implied. You. 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 You go. The word go here, some people like to point out, who are really studied in the Greek language, they like to point out this is not a part of the main verb of this sentence. It's a participle. It's a kind of a participle. But if you study it, it has the force of a main verb that is with it. And it's impossible for us to not go. But it doesn't mean you've got to go with me to New Zealand, or the next time I go to Haiti, Lord willing, you've got to go with me to Haiti. It doesn't mean you have to step across that line into Canada to be who you need to be. What it means is, as you go, as you live life, as you go downtown in Henderson, as you go out to Jack's Creek to get a barbecue, as you do whatever it is you do, as you go, you've got to go. You will not stay in this building the rest of your life. You will not go home and stay in your home. You're going to go. You're going to go to the grocery store. You're going to take a vacation. You're going to do all kinds of things. This passage, this word is saying to you, as you go, you have a responsibility. It's a great responsibility. Go. And that responsibility is to make disciples. Here is the force of the main verb in this particular sentence. You go, and when you go, as you go, not having to go to some foreign nation, but as you go throughout Henderson, as you go throughout Chester County or Tennessee or wherever it is you take your vacation, you go. You make disciples. You let people know that King James Version says teach. That's how we make disciples. We teach the message of God. We teach people about Jesus coming into the world. He was rich. We were poor. He became poor that we might become rich. He came with a great amount of grace. That grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly right now in this present world, and then look for the blessed hope and appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. We need the grace of God. Jesus came to give us that saving grace, the shedding of His blood that removes our sins, and we are taught what to do to be a disciple, a learner, a follower, committed to what Jesus said, committed to the life that Jesus lived, committed to, as you go, make disciples. Did you notice stories like John chapter 4? Jesus said, I must go through Samaria. No, you didn't. Most of those Jews went around. He said, I must go through Samaria. And he comes upon a well, Jacob's well. And here's a woman who comes as his disciples have gone into the city to buy some food. Here comes a woman. Jesus said, give me a drink. Did he talk to her because he was thirsty? He may have been thirsty, but let me tell you this. His real purpose was making a disciple. He began to share with her what living water is about. It's greater in substance than any amount of water she could have drawn from that well. Here is living water. Jesus said, if you knew of the water that I have, you could drink it and you could never be thirsty. She said, give me this water. I'm tired of coming to the well. I don't ever want to thirst again. It wasn't what Jesus was about, trying to cure her physical thirst. It was about helping her have the opportunity to choose to be a disciple. We need to be sharing that living water, making disciples. As we go, wherever it is that you go, I just happen to have the blessing of being able to go to a number of places. And this is one of the greatest places that I've been to, right here where I am tonight. And the responsibility is as great right here for me tonight as it will be if the Lord blesses me with a safe trip to New Zealand. Every person in this room needs to be a disciple. It's likely that someone is not. And so as I go, I left home to come here to preach the message of God in hopes of making a disciple out of somebody in this room that is not, by preaching the message of God. Jesus said, go, I'm here. You are here. What about the people that you know that need Jesus, that might be in this room, who might be out of harmony with God's will, who might have never been baptized into Christ? Because you see, we go, and as we go, we make disciples. And when we are in the process of making disciples, how do you do that? Well, you teach them what Jesus said. Jesus said, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. That's the message of Jesus. We teach what Jesus taught so that they become disciples of Jesus, learners of his word. It doesn't make any difference what Roy Sharp believes unless it is what Jesus teaches. And when we teach what Jesus taught, we're not making disciples for Roy Sharp or Billy Smith or the Church of Christ, as we say sometimes. Is the church important and will it be made up of people who are disciples? Yes. But it's about being a disciple of Jesus Christ and being added to his body. That's the purpose, making disciples. And we do that by teaching them exactly what Jesus said. When Jesus gave this great commission, Peter was already told, you're going to have the keys to the kingdom. You're going to be able to preach that first sermon. You're going to be able to permit people to enter the kingdom of heaven. And so in Acts chapter 2, when Peter had told those people they had murdered God's son, boy, it hurt their feelings. They were cut to the heart. When you and I realize that our sin is responsible for the death of Jesus Christ on the cross, I hope it hurts your heart. I hope it's not something that's so flippant because you've heard it before. I hope it hurts your heart tonight to realize that you and I sin. And because we sin, Jesus had to die on the cross. When those people heard about the death of Jesus on the cross, they cried out, what shall we do? Peter answered and said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Peter was in the process of making disciples. How do you do that? You preach the message of God. He preached from the Old Testament. He preached from historical facts that those people had seen themselves. He now helped them recognize their sin in the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, God's Son. And they said, what do we do? How do we become disciples? In effect, Peter said, you do what Jesus said. You repent of your sins. Jesus said, except you repent, you will all likewise perish. You repent and be baptized. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved, Jesus said. Peter is preaching the message of Jesus. It's not about what Peter thought. It's not about what Peter wanted. He was guided and directed by the Spirit of God into making disciples. And he taught them what they needed to do to become a disciple of Jesus Christ. About 3,000 souls that day were baptized. So we go. We go for the purpose of making disciples. And we make disciples by teaching them the Word of God. And when we do, we will baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So we have a responsibility. And when we go and we attempt to make disciples, we are not finished. Why are we here tonight? Why are we here tonight? This summer, it will have been 60 years since I was baptized. There's some folks in this room that were baptized well over 60 years ago. Were we through? Nope. Were we through learning? No. Are we through learning tonight? No. We keep on working. We have such a precious group of people right here in this room. And we need to grow. Every one of us needs to grow. And so we go with the purpose of making disciples. We teach the message of God. And we baptize people. And then we must continue to teach. Study to show yourselves approved unto God. Workmen that do not need to be ashamed, being able to rightly handle the Word of God. We need to all be studying and working. My prayer daily is that you are doing daily Bible reading. I think about that almost every morning. And the reason I say almost is every now and then I have to do something and I jump up and I get going. And with my impulsive nature, I run out the door. I've had time to read the Bible, but I get busy thinking what I've got to do. And I run out the door and I cannot stand it until I catch up. And when I begin catching up, I think about all of us and the need for us to read what God says more. My mind needs to be filled more with what God is saying than what Fox News is saying or what CNN is saying or what your favorite station is saying. Mine might be ESPN. I need to know more about God's Word than I do about the box scores of my favorite sports teams. I need to be studying and learning. And I need some help. I need you to teach me sometimes. And some of you do. Some of you come to me after a sermon and say, hey, you didn't quote that passage right. Or, hey, you told that story wrong. I remember one time saying before I said anything, now this is Roy Sharp's translation of this passage. And then I proceeded to tell a story that's not exactly the way the Bible teaches it. Somebody came straight to me and said, now, you know that's not what the Bible teaches. And I said, well, I thought I was telling you that in the sermon, but you're right. And I appreciate that. That says several things. It says you're listening, but it says you know what the Bible teaches. We need that. These young folks over here, you all need to know more about what God says than you do about medicine if you're going into being a medical doctor. You need to know more about what God says than you do about engineering or school teaching or any other profession. We have 15 graduates today. Boy, what a great accomplishment that is. But those 15 people need to know more about God's Word than anything else in the world because we've heard today, out at the nursing home, the conclusion of the whole matter is fear God and keep His commandments. This is the whole of man. And so we go. wherever you go, when you go. Grocery store, vacation, got a few more days of school left. Wherever you go, you be thinking about making disciples. And you can't do that without teaching them about baptism, where they're born into the family of God. And then once they are born into the family of God, you cannot make them the disciples they need to be unless you continue to teach them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And then the great blessing is I am with you always. Hard to express my feelings about going to Haiti. This first year I haven't gone in, I don't know, over 15 years. About going to New Zealand, first time I've ever been. I don't want to go. I don't want to leave Chester County. I've told two or three people lately, I think I need to write a song entitled, I Can Hear My Recliner Calling. I don't want to go, and I mean that. But I want to go. I want to go. Because that's what my responsibility is. I have the opportunity, and I want to go. And I'm willing to give up my recliner for 3 weeks to go. And I'm not bragging, because I'm telling you, on the other hand, I don't want to go, and that's embarrassing. So I'm not bragging. But what I want to do is I want to tell you, you're going to go somewhere in these next 3 weeks, several different times and several different places. Will you take this message to heart and go to make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to observe all things? Would you do that? What you do in the next 3 weeks may well be far more important than what I do in the next 3 weeks. There may be a young man in Henderson that would be the next Apostle Paul. There may be a young woman in Henderson that could be the next Dorcas. Or some of those great women that we read about in the Bible. And you may be the one to go baptize them, teach them, make a disciple of them. So what you do may be much more important than what I do. And what we all have to ask ourselves is, am I willing? Am I willing? And my prayer is that all of us will be willing. Tonight, as we close this part of our service, I want you to think about being a disciple. If you've never been baptized into Christ, you haven't been born into that great kingdom of God, His church, and there's a great call for that. We need that. We know that there have been people trying to teach you, trying to reach you. And you may know tonight what you need to do. Our hope and our prayer in taking the time to sing this song is not to fill up a space. It's not to fulfill a tradition. It is to earnestly seek to make disciples as we go through this worship and through our lives. And so if you need to respond to God tonight, to come home to God as a child of God and pray, express your repentance and your sadness and your sorrow for sins and come home. That's what our hope is. That's what our prayer is. Please come if you need us. We stand and as we sing.